Samayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Hag Pesach Samayak to you, which on the Hebrew calendar began tonight at sundown for 8 days, which includes the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We pray that you are blessed with these teachings of our Hebraic roots on the spring feast, as we love sharing these absolutely amazing prophetic appointments of our Lord. Let's bow our hearts.
Abba, Father, we thank you for sending us your Son to redeem us by paying our debt for sins. Because of his resurrection, we will soon be entering your kingdom. Until then, let us be mindful to pray for those suffering, especially due to war and lawlessness. May you protect our soldiers as well as Israel, and we pray that soon we will see total victory. We continue to plead the blood of Yeshua over our unsaved loved ones. Guard all those who are called by your name while keeping our burdens light. May tonight's study be worthy of your smile and bless tonight's listeners as they love to learn more about you. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Well, looks like the Houthis are joining in the war.
Oh, they sure are. They've been waiting, actually, for the IRGC to need them. And, boy, they sure do need them now, which has become obvious as evidenced by the Iranian regime recruiting children as young as 12.
It's operational desperation with moral decay.
Very demonic for sure. And this is interesting. It has now been confirmed that Saudi Arabia has been quietly paying the Houthis salaries to stay out of the war. And they waited until the latest funds arrived before joining the fight. But here's the real crazy part. Saudi Arabia has been doing this for years, so Houthis would not attack them to the tune of approximately $1 billion a year transferred through the Yemeni Central Bank.
So far, only two waves of missiles and drones have been fired at southern Israel, and both of those were intercepted.
Also, many think the IRGC has been holding back and giving a major command for the sleeper cells in America to surface, which when they do, it will be in numerous places and all at the same time.
Well, we pray that that does not come to fruition.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And 5,000 more Marines and sailors have now been added to the roughly 2,000 soldiers from the 82nd Airborne Division. And we wonder what their role will be specifically.
Washington says they are there in case needed.
And as a warning to Iran. Or President Trump could send some in as ground troops to find the lead containers hiding enriched uranium of about 20 kilograms each, probably in some mountain or underground city. But perhaps a better option to avoid the risky ground troops could be to render them inaccessible to Iran by bombing all around the surrounding area.
Yeah, blocking all access points and tunnels.
Which we have been doing lately, as in Isfahan, utilizing our bunker busters.
Well, we are winning this war.
We are. And we are getting some mixed signals concerning any deal to confuse the IRGC. Most are not taking what Trump says literally, but rather seriously. He says he is giving them an off-ramp. So far, they will not agree to all the demands, and actually, he knew they wouldn't.
Well, it's part of his plan.
And in Lebanon, Israel is working hard to stop Hezbollah, who has increased its attacks, and they killed four IDF soldiers last night. Israel is now pushing its border further up the southern area to the Litani River in Lebanon.
Oh, you can send your end-time question by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll add you to our monthly mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. All right, as we always do, let's begin with a short summary from the last few weeks.
Well, to kick off the three feasts, we begin with Palm Sunday. Although not an actual feast day, we saw its importance.
It's the day they would pick the lamb.
Yes. And on the Hebrew calendar, that's always on Nisan 10, which that year was a Sunday where they could or would examine for 4 days any flaws or blemishes.
To sacrifice on Passover.
This was also the day Yeshua, God's Lamb, was hailed as King, the Chosen One. And then, like the animal lamb, they examined Christ by questioning him for 4 days in the temple till Passover began, which that year was a Wednesday.
Yeah, it'd have to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Exactly. Which began at sundown, now Nisan 14, till sundown the next day. That began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That was a high holy day.
When he was quickly laid in the tomb.
So before sundown was still the 24 hours of Passover, when he was put on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning till his side was pierced at 3 in the afternoon.
So then at sundown began the Feast of Unleavened Bread,
which lasts 7 more days to equal the whole Passover season of 8 days. Then, always on the Sunday, during the 7 Feasts of Unleavened Bread, and that was the Feast of First Fruits.
When Yeshua rose from the dead.
As the first fruits of the resurrection. And soon we will be part 2 of that resurrection.
Or rapture, if you're alive.
Amen. So let's be clear. The actual first day of 24 hours from sundown to sundown is called the day of Passover on Nisan 14.
And is not a high Sabbath.
Right. Rather, that's a preparation day to prepare before the Sabbath of Unleavened Bread and to eat their Seder meal on Passover. Since Jesus was to hang on the cross on Thursday, but still the 14th, till sundown, he gathered his apostles on Wednesday night so he could eat the Seder meal and still fulfill the Passover with his death the next day before sundown.
So, still on Passover.
Exactly. And actually, historically in Egypt, they ate the lamb just after sundown on Nisan 14, which, to fit the typology, was probably a Wednesday. In fact, many rabbis who deny Yeshua have even said this. Just check out Wikipedia. Anyhow, the High Holy Sabbath begins the next day at sundown, becoming Nisan 15, called Unleavened Bread.
Which lasts for 7 days.
Yes, so 1 + 7 = 8. We also teased last week that we would look at why Mary was not allowed to touch Jesus, that's Mary Magdalene, when she first saw him at the tomb. So first, let's read the scripture concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread to include the Feast of First Fruits to help us understand. Leviticus 23, verses 10 and 11.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheath of the first fruits of your barley harvest to the priest. He shall wave a sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it.
Okay, so we know that's a regular Saturday Sabbath due to the Hebrew word Shabbat. Now, if it were to be a high Sabbath, an extra holy day, the Hebrew word would be Shabbaton. So bottom line, the Feast of First Fruits, which Yeshua fulfilled, is always on a Sunday during the 7 days of unleavened bread. And the scripture says that on the first fruits, the priest will take a barley sheaf from each family and wave it before Yahweh in the temple.
The custom was to do that at the early oblation,
which is 9 a.m. So Jesus, as priest, would also present himself before the Father in heaven, also at the morning oblation, or 9 o'clock, in order to fulfill all the requirements. And until that was accomplished, no one could touch the priest. Now we read in John 20, verse 17, that Mary Magdalene, being the first to see him resurrected, wanted to embrace him. But Jesus instructed her not to touch him at this time, for he had not yet gone up to his Father to fulfill the wave offering.
So this had to be just before 9 a.m.
Exactly. And we know that fits the timeline of his resurrection in the morning watch between 3 and 6 a.m., also called the fourth watch. Also, and this is important, according to Jewish law, the priests were not to have any contact, as we said, with anyone for, wait for it,
3 days.
Right. Not until after this special first fruits offering to the Lord. And another gold nugget is the priests were not to eat or drink for 3 days prior.
Wow.
Yeah. Another confirmation as to why we should have some basic knowledge of our roots, as in their customs and common phraseology. So we see how Jesus really did fulfill every requirement of 3 days in the grave, and then no one touching him till he, the risen Son, went to the Father to present himself.
Because while in the grave, he only visited Abraham's bosom to proclaim the gospel and set the captives free.
Right. Who had been anticipating their Messiah, whose spirits are now waiting in heaven till the rest of the righteous are resurrected. I also want to mention in Matthew 27, it says that some of those who were set free were actually seen on the earth after Yeshua's resurrection. And we don't have any precise details, but I assume to attest to others of his resurrection. And as a type of the fact that we too will all someday be resurrected as well and be back on earth for the millennial messianic kingdom.
And that's all we really know about that.
Mm-hmm. So, continuing with Mary Magdalene, again, the first person and a woman that Jesus spoke to, who told her to go and give an important message to his brethren, that he was about to ascend unto his Father.
John 20 and Hebrews 9.
So then, after Yeshua returned, later on that same day,
so still Sunday before sundown,
he then appeared to his disciples and encouraged them that they could now touch him.
Luke 24:39.
So again, he also fulfilled the wave offering by quickly leaving the earth, presented himself to his Father, and returned, fulfilling every aspect of the Feast of First Fruits literally. So now he could therefore be touched.
Even eating fish and honey with them.
That's a fun clue, because Philippians 3:21 says, we will have bodies like Jesus, so therefore, we too will be able to eat in the new kingdom on earth. I like that. John 20, verse 22 says, he also breathed the Holy Spirit on them and opened their understanding of Scripture. They were now ready to preach, and would gain even more power on Pentecost.
Luke 24:49.
Yes. Like a foreshadow of what was to come in 50 days. Like we as Christians receive the dwelling of the Holy Spirit when we are saved, but a further indwelling with more power when baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's read Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16.
You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering,
which is first fruits.
Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
In other words, they should always begin counting on Sundays, Feast of First Fruits, so Pentecost would also be a Sunday as well. Unfortunately, the modern Jews, since they don't really recognize First Fruits anymore, instead, they incorrectly start counting from the High Sabbath in Hebrew, which is called the Shabbaton, on the first day of unleavened bread.
So, Pentecost seldom falls on a Sunday on their calendar.
This is against the Torah, and we follow the Word of God first.
What's their excuse for that?
Well, they say because there's no temple, but they do most of all the other traditions. But most think it's because we celebrate Yeshua's resurrection on this day. Remember, everything God does is precise
and orderly, using much detail.
Oh. Again, he rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits because he is the first fruits of the resurrection, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 15:20. Interesting that in the tribulation, soon after our rapture, there is a group of 144,000 from the 12 tribes who will get saved pretty quickly as their spiritual eyes will be opened. In Revelation 14, they are called the first fruits because they would be the first ones to receive their Messiah in their hearts immediately after the rapture.
You know, perhaps they will even visualize our departure.
Well, that makes sense, like Elisha saw Elijah go up and then received a double anointing, as I believe the 144,000 will also receive.
Therefore, the 144,000 replace the bride on earth.
These wonderful new evangelists that are granted a special seal of protection, where not even a hair on their head will be hurt.
Revelation 7.
Today in Israel, there is a fire of enthusiasm as many are expecting the Messiah, and have even built an altar for sacrificing just outside the Western Wall and perform a reenactment of the sacrifice of the Lamb.
But without the Lamb.
Mostly, but some communities, as in the Samaritans, well, they do. But the Jews practice this as they truly believe that their temple will soon be built.
We suspect it will be part of the peace deal of Daniel 9.
And everything is prepared and ready to go. Even all the priests, their vestments, their utensils, harps, shofars, and silver trumpets. The high priest has been designated.
And you know, the red heifer is in Israel.
So they are very close. And we know from Revelation 11 that there will be a temple built and finished during the tribulation. So in the next few minutes remaining, let's revisit John the Baptist, since he was born on Passover, but we'll finish next week with more details, as there is a lot to say about this very special person, not often taught on how we can know exactly when he was born, as we can of Jesus as well.
As you have been teaching for decades.
I have. It's chewing the meat that Hebrews 5 says we should be doing. Anyhow, about 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist was born on the first day of the Passover season, therefore Nisan 14/15.
Exactly 6 months before Jesus was born on Tishrei 15.
Yes, on the Feast of Tabernacles. So then that would happen 8 days from Passover, on the last day of unleavened bread, besides it being another high holy day?
Of course, John's circumcision.
which, by the way, is a very big deal, even as important as one's birth.
Because it's a blood covenant to God.
Yes. So today, let's explain how we know this, because you can glean a wealth of information by understanding just one verse in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Please, honey.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
The key word here are of the course, or some translations say the division of Abijah. This is how we know when John the Baptist was not only conceived, but when he would be born. And therefore, when Jesus was incarnated and also born. As a student of the Word, it truly behooves all of us to know about these divisions of the priesthood.
Most Bibles reference 1 Chronicles chapter 24 on the side column.
Yeah, it's right there. Because, as you well know, nothing is in Scripture without a good reason. So, John the Baptist's father was of the Levitical priesthood division of Abijah.
Therefore, so was his son, John the Baptist.
Yes, and there were 24 courses or divisions of Levitical priests. And each course served 1 week of temple servitude twice a year. Abijah's group, according to Chronicles 24:10, would serve the eighth course of every biblical calendar year, counting from Nisan, and also would serve on the eighth course of the civil calendar, starting from Tishrei as well.
Therefore, we know when Zechariah served in the temple.
Right. And we read in Luke 1, verse 13, he, while serving, received his revelation that Elizabeth would finally conceive and to name him John. Again, we know that each Levite family served 1 week, twice a year, according to the order that David, directed by God, told them, as well as 3 times a year when all the priests would serve during Passover, on Pentecost, and during Tabernacles.
So Zechariah would have served the 8th week plus the week of Passover.
Exactly. So that would be the 9th week of the biblical year, which brings you right up to Pentecost. You know, you can look at any Hebrew calendar and count 9 weeks beginning in Nisan, and you come to the time of Pentecost when all would serve. But, and this is important, they would cast lots to see who would actually have the privilege to solely burn the incense.
And surprise, it was Zechariah.
Imagine that. Which means he was alone to privately hear from the angel Gabriel. By the way, some priests never have the opportunity to burn the incense because it was always done by casting lots.
Or in today's lingo, the throw of the dice.
Right, which God controlled. Okay, so Elizabeth would conceive that evening of Pentecost because we know by Luke 1 verse 15 that John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit from the time of conception, which is so like God. For John to be conceived on the day, the Holy Spirit would later descend upon those in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday, Acts chapter 2. I am in awe of God's precision. So voila, 280 days later brings us to Passover when he was born. It all fits like a glove, and we'll of course review this again next week as we continue with that great man of God. Till then, let me ask you, I hope you know Jesus Christ. And the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.